Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. Yankee Doodle do or die. A real live nephew of my Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
Hi, everybody. It's Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That means it's time for TPU Radio. I'm your host, Jason Easley. And this week, our main topic of discussion will be why the Republicans aren't even trying to court minority voters. As you may or may not know, all the top Republicans pulled out of Tavis Smiley's All-American Presidential Forum, which is nationally televised on PBS, September 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. They all cited busy schedules. McCain, Romney, Thompson, and Giuliani all bailed on a forum which was designed to address issues concerning African Americans, Latinos, and other minorities. That's going to be the main topic of the day, but before we get started, this is one of those days where I could basically do a show by myself. This week, I have a special Huckabee Award for Representative Peter King for this piece of genius. Unfortunately, quote, we have too many mosques in this country. There's too many people who are sympathetic to radical Islam. We should be looking at them more carefully. We should be finding out how we could infiltrate. We should be much more aggressive in law enforcement. Okay? If Peter King, representative from New York, has made these comments several times, he believes that 85% of the Islam people in the country, Muslims, are dangerous to America. He's also the Homeland Security Advisor to Juan Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy pretty much laughed it off and said, quote, I've known Pete for 41 years, so I'm not about to do that, fire him. I knew exactly what Pete meant. I mean, even before I heard the clarification, what he means is that there are mosques in which violence is preached. I know that from my own investigation of Islamic terrorism, Rudy Giuliani, private eye. I also know that there are many mosques in which it isn't. More of the same old crap. Yeah, this is the day of Republican bashing, kids. So right now, let's bring in my good friend, Will.
Hello.
Hi, Will.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, how
are
you?
Can you hear me okay?
What?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay?
It's a little
what?
Muffled. It's a bit muffled. I can barely make you out.
No, feedback. I was going to listen more and more to our feedback.
Oh, okay.
You getting any feedback? Are you getting any feedback?
It's a little it's a little shaky. But it's a little muffled.
Well, then you're not talking today.
Okay, sorry.
No, we'll do the best we can with it. We'll say hi to George. Hey, George.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
I can. You're kind of garbled, Jason.
What's that?
I can hear Will loud and clear, but you're,
no,
you're
I can,
still kind of
garbled. Well, this week the upside is I can hear both of you. So this would be progress.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, previous weeks I've been having trouble hearing one or the other of you. So we've made some progress. We'll do the best we can. If you need me to repeat myself, just say so. So far, though, we haven't gotten any listener complaints about not being able to hear me, which means that I think this is a problem amongst ourselves. Let's get ready to do it. Okay, George.
Yes.
Why do the Republicans hate black people?
I honestly think that they believe that, you know, like that if they were to go on there and everything, that they would basically be forced to answer, you know, like a lot of different questions about race and race relations and everything, and that would be something that that they would be uncomfortable answering. So I just basically think that they just did not want to bother getting into the back and forth of race relations, and especially when you
okay,
get
Will,
the force.
Same question.
I'm not too sure why they don't want to go on. I mean, they say that, you know, it's because of scheduling conflicts, but I guess I'll agree with George that, you know, they don't want to face the tough issues like, you know, the fallout of Katrina, because a lot of New Orleans is still not rebuilt, and a lot of that was race-related in a way. So
okay, you believe it was originally the will.
Well,
that if this could have been a white city somewhere in the Northeast, let's say.
Well, not
Republican.
Really. Well, not really. I mean, I'll retract that.
You can still believe you want. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that believe that.
Because
it's not exactly
Katrina,
a minority opinion.
Well, the Katrina issue was mentioned in a lot of our articles that, you know, in a lot of articles that were written that the Katrina issue was mentioned. That
okay.
So
okay, what is that?
Yeah.
Okay, guys. It was mentioned about everywhere. Okay, here I got a quote for you. This is the one that's censored in the article from Jack Kemp. Good old Jack Kemp. Quote: "We sound like we don't want immigration. We sound like we don't want black people to vote for us." Said Jack Kemp. What are we going to do? Need a meeting in the country club in the suburbs one day? If we're going to be competitive with people of color, we've got to ask them for their vote. Now, mind you, even George W. Bush trudged out there in his famous press conference in the day after and told the Republicans, look, you got to talk to black people. You got to at least try. You got to fake it. You know what I mean? You have to at least pretend you're interested in their issues that pertain to this community. I mean, because there are some unique issues that pertain to minority communities. But basically, they won't go address the NAACP. They won't address any ethnic minority discriminatory, possibly discriminating group of voters who have some issues. They stick to white people. They're not going to win the election with white people. I mean, do they realize this? I mean, it's just different. I mean, I don't think this is a big brainstorm revelation here. But there are other people in the country who aren't white. And there are a lot of things that I talk about. And of course, you know, these people are going to vote Democrat because the Republican Party doesn't even bother to offer them alternatives. They just assume that, you know, the black, Latino, other communities are going to vote Democrats in my book. Okay, now the good news for the people who are attending these Tavis Smiley Forum is they're going to get a lot more of their time. Ron Paul, Mike Huckabee, Hunter, Tim Crano, and I'm back. This means you. I can meet somebody else. But this means you. You're all going to be watching this time. You're going to get 90 minutes to talk and talk and talk and talk. This is all that I think for you. Okay, guys. But, you know, what do you think it would take to get the Republican Party to engage minority voters? Do they really hate black people? George?
Well, you know, it just seems like mainly the one thing that I kind of think that these, you know, top Republican candidates believe that they'll be asked about and everything are the issues like Will had said before about you know, like Katrina and everything, about all these other failures that the current administration is responsible for. And they have that unenviable position of having to basically kind of stick up for that administration and then move past them at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think they know how to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that, I honestly believe the Republican Party doesn't know how to talk to these groups of voters. And that's stupid. You know, any person of any gender, ethnic background, we're all shooting the same things. The economy, healthcare, the war. Of course, these are strong Republican issues. Tax cuts really don't play well.
Well, it seems like the
poor communities. You know what I mean?
It seems like these guys are basically just kind of being set up to get beaten at their own game because the Republicans, you know, like would try to do, you know, like would try to, you know, put forward these different issues, and if, you know, say if they brought them, you know, like forward to a Democrat, and the Democrat would obviously not be in favor of it, then the Republicans' basic response of that is, why do you hate America?
Yeah.
And at the same time, now, you know, like, you know, you have a Republican who's going forward to speak on this show, and the Republican says, no, I'm not going to be on that show, well, the minority can easily reply with, why do you hate black people?
Yeah, well, look at the message they're sending. And this isn't the first forum they've blown off. They've blown off Hispanic forums. They've blown off. There's a wide list of forums. It appears that if you're not on Fox News, they've blown off the CNN YouTube debate, for in case you guys didn't know. Most of them, at least all the top ones, have decided not to appear in CNN YouTube debates. The debate that was rescheduled to accommodate their schedules. Originally, when they said they couldn't attend the first day because they would have the piston complex. They didn't want to address real questions from American voters. Of course, neither is Hillary Clinton, but, you know, at least she pretends. It's mind-blowing. It's almost like they're saying, here's the 2008 election. Take it. Mm-hmm. It's yours.
Yeah, basically. But at the same time, you have the Democrats that don't have their stuff together yet, so they can just go ahead and take it themselves.
We all know the Democrats aren't good with those kind of situations.
Yeah.
They find a way to screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to screw it up is probably nominating one, Hillary Ronald Clinton. I'm going to get more email for that. George, what did you think about Peter King saying that we need to infiltrate more mosques?
Say that again? Really?
What did you think of my quote at the beginning of the show with Peter King, the Republican representative from New York, saying that we need to infiltrate more mosques.
Infiltrate more mosques?
In this country. Yeah, in this country.
Oh, my God.
You know.
That's...
I'll give you the quote again. Maybe you're here at the beginning of the show.
That could possibly be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life.
I got to give you the first part again. Maybe you missed it. Quote, unfortunately, we have too many mosques in this country. And there are too many people who are sympathetic to radical Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we have too many mosques in this country.
I just don't understand, you know, like his frame of thinking. He's basically just kind of playing into the hands of those who are trying to set this whole thing up as a holy war.
He's not your representative.
It's the Tom Tancredo Award.
It's the Tom Tancredo Award, but see, he didn't take the next step and advocate bombing Muslim tribes on holy sites. That may be the Huckabee Holocaust.
That's my nominee right there for this week.
I when this came out, I just looked at this. And Rudy laughed it off. Ha ha ha. I knew exactly what Pete meant. Yeah, he must have got rid of the mosque. That's pretty clear. I mean, it just... What the hell is Rudy Giuliani doing? That's all I'm going to say. What the hell is Rudy Giuliani doing? He starts off as a nice monitor who Democrats might vote for, and he's slowly morphing into George W. Bush. And my favorite part of this book, Rudy spoke, I run investigations of Islamic terrorism. Rudy is now the Nancy Drew of terrorism experts. He investigates the issue. He's a rock in this whole Islamic terrorism. Yeah. Who's Rudy trying to fool? Who knows nothing about Islamic terrorism? Yeah, I'm in a real mood today, guys. And I didn't know that anyway. Yeah, you have your morning voice. You don't talk about with it today. So I'm just going to kind of live up here. You can try it whenever you want. Having a fourth cup of coffee, George.
Say that again? I'm sorry.
I'm
wide awake and everything. I'm just trying to decipher what the hell you're saying with the feedback that's going on.
Okay, so you're having a feedback issue this week.
Yeah.
See, the last couple of weeks, the feedback issue's been from you to me. So I couldn't really understand you that well last couple of weeks. Now this week it's me to you. Okay, well, let's move on a bit to an issue near and dear to my heart. President Bush and the Children's Health Insurance Program. Okay. First of all, it's not really bad politics to mess with the Children's Health Insurance Program. Why would you mess with poor kids' health insurance? Will, do you agree with that?
I'm...
Will. Hello?
Will?
Hello?
Okay.
I'm sorry, can you run that by me again, please?
Will, do you agree with it's not a good idea to mess with the kids' health insurance program?
Do I agree with President Bush messing with the children's health program?
Yeah.
No, I don't agree with him messing around with that. I think that that's politics right there. I mean, I know he's accusing the Democrats of playing politics, but you know, when you're playing with children's health care and using it as a bargaining chip, that's not right.
Yeah.
And
George, you may have been able to make up from what we're talking about, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and President Bush vowing to veto an expansion of the Children's Health Insurance Program bill. This isn't particularly smart, is it?
No.
This isn't real bright. I mean,
it is really bright. Go ahead.
Well, okay, let me first run down the story. Okay, the Democrats originally proposed a $50 to $60 billion increase in children's health care. The CHIP program is a state-run program. It's voluntary. Individuals up to 250% of the poverty line can apply to the CHIP program, get their kids health insurance at a reduced rate. Like, it's free for you, the very poor, but it's basically based on a sliding income scale. The Democrats, one of their major domestic goals has been to expand the program to cover more kids, because there's still 8.7 million children in the United States without health insurance. So they originally sought to pass a $50 billion increase. Well, the Republicans in the Senate balked at that. They did not want a $50 billion increase. So the Democrats went back and negotiated. They cut it to $35 billion. President Bush is proposing a $5 billion a year increase over the next 5 years, which isn't really enough to cover the cost of the program. So, like I said, the program is voluntary. It's voluntary at the state level. It's voluntary because states don't have to participate in this program. Individuals don't have to participate in this program if they don't want to. President Bush has decided that he's going to veto any extension of this bill of the funding that is over $5 billion over 5 years. So $1 billion a year is also a loss. So that's the background. Bush should be running around saying that the SCHIP program is government-run health care and that the proposal would move millions of children who now have private health insurance into government-run health care. Our goal should be to move children who have no health insurance to private coverage. Why do we want private coverage? Because many insurance companies make money. Not to mention children who already have private health insurance to government coverage. Not to move children who already have private health insurance to government coverage. Why is he doing this? Well,
I have no idea why he's doing this. There's no problem in funding a war, but when it comes to children's health insurance, boy, we got a problem here. You know, that's...
Yeah, and, you know, this isn't government-run care. This isn't a brand-new program. This isn't anything that he's lying. He's flat-out lying about what the program does, what it is, and... Who it's going to cover. I mean, it's none of it's true. Everything he's saying is a manipulated half-truth. The thing is, this program is also wildly popular. It's popular with senators, congresspeople, governors. Right now, rough head count. They have enough senators to overturn the veto. It's close in the House. I know he's trying to look like a hard-ass fiscal conservative, you know, but you don't do that on kids' health care. Because can you imagine, Will and George, the ads that will run next year for people who vote against this program?
Oh.
Can you imagine those ads that the Democrats will run against Republicans?
That's going to
be
like,
pretty nasty.
That those ads are just going to be insane about when it comes
blank
to...
Blank person voted for $100-some billion in war funding. Represented a blank... And vote for children's health insurance. But again, it's all about the message you're sending. The message this president is sending is it is more important to fund Iraq than it is to cover American kids with health care.
I think this is why, you know, like, this is why you have like all these different people, all these different members of Congress and governors and everything that are so enthusiastic for this program. And
yeah.
Because they know exactly, you know, like what the message would send if they were to speak out against it.
Even if the beauty of this program too is the fact that it's a relatively cheap program to run. It's a cheap program to run, and most importantly, it works.
If you want to ensure kids, if you want to scramble for healthcare for adults or any of the healthcare proposals out there,
you know, that's fine. Adults should be able to make their own choices. But kids, if you don't have health insurance, whose parents do not have luxury of affording them, of getting them affordable private insurance, we say no to them. I don't know the logic behind that.
I don't see the logic in it either, and it's really insane.
I know he's trying to appeal to the base. He's trying to appeal to the base, and he keeps trying to distort the program to make it look like, because they're floating, as a public columnist writer, they're floating a trial balloon for 2008. He's weighing up the basic argument against health care in any sort of universal health care system. Oh, George, if you compare this, let me ask you, do you have health insurance?
Do I have health insurance?
Yeah, for work.
I have it through my work.
Yeah, okay. I have insurance. Will here, though, does not have health insurance. Right?
Right.
Just checking, Will. Okay, so Will would be one of the 47 million or so uncovered Americans. Whenever the Republicans say absolutely no to health care, they basically say no to Will. But to Will, you don't have the right to go to a doctor to get sick. They're telling Will, if you vote for us, you're not going to get a good job because you're not going to be able to fully get injured. They're telling Will, don't vote for us. That's what they're telling Will. Is that right?
Right.
I didn't put words in your mouth. They're telling Will,
I'm trying to hear you. So.
Okay. Yeah, we got. I'll tell you what. There's all sorts of snap, crackle, and pops on the line, too, on my end. This is better than the previous week, but I'm just going to keep trying to muddle through here, guys, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I won't expect you to chime in unless you can really hear me. That's exactly it. And they're telling all of these people no. Just like they're telling minorities no. Just like they're telling people with children who don't have health insurance no. How do they expect to win an election? When their main plank of their campaign is no.
I have a feeling that what Bush is doing, and this is like in a really, this could be like a really weird thing, and I'm not 100% sure that he's doing this because I know he's not that smart, but it seems like he's kind of setting himself up to be the hard ass and basically, you know, put his foot down on this so that the other Republican contenders can speak up and say, wait a minute, you know, and all of a sudden they would look like the compassionate conservatives
you gotta remember that, George.
What's that?
Remember Giuliani's health insurance plan proposal about?
Oh, I know Giuliani's health insurance. I'm talking about, some of the other guys.
And do you figure that he's figuring what has he got to lose because his ratings are already low?
Right. And if he can throw out something for one of the other contenders to fight for, then all of a sudden they would look more like a compassionate person and be able to get the sort of support that they've been missing. But at the same time, like I said, he's not that smart. So that
he
could be.
He's not that smart. His people aren't that smart. I mean, this is just what this is they're trying to set up the argument against universal health care. Which Hillary Clinton was on George Snuffleupagus this morning, and she basically kept saying, USA, USA, a government health care plan, not government run, USA, choice. I mean, those are her buzzwords. And let's face it, her health care is all crap. I mean, it would require a will to buy health insurance. So, no matter how much money people like Will make, they'd be required to buy health insurance. That's the mandate. The mandate is everybody must have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that means that if you don't have it right now, you better go get it. That's just, it's the basic way. And you know, she'll give you tax credits. Well, coming up with the money for the insurance, though, well, it's sort of your problem. Yeah, I don't, you know, I would assume that even if we can't agree on universal health care, which, are you guys in favor of universal health care? If you can hear me, answer the question.
Are we in favor of universal health care?
Yeah.
I think it would work as a fallback, you know, for people. I think that just the fact that there are so many people that are without it completely is really not only disturbing but kind of disgusting. Like the way that aren't we supposed to be, you know, like the great leader of the free world and everything, and there's so many different people that are without it and can just get crippled by the cost, you know, just in case something something happens.
Mm-hmm.
Will, are you in favor of the universal system?
I have to agree with George. I think it's something that, you know, that for people who have low income can fall back on, but if you have the money through your work or any other way to take care of it, then you can, because it was really interesting. I was watching Alan Greenspan, and, you know, this is kind of related, you know, with Medicare and all that, and he was saying that the greatest problem right now is going to be Medicare, and if we don't take care of it right now, it's really going to hurt us fiscally in the future. And he had his own plan of how it should be worked and the way it probably will work in the future. So
here's the problem. Our entire system is set up on as an employer-provided healthcare system. Instead of ignoring that and creating another system beside it, why don't we create incentives for employers to provide affordable healthcare coverage? You know, healthcare used to be 100% tax deductible.
Mm-hmm.
For employers. It used to be. Not now. Dollar for dollar was all deducted. That's the kind of thing we need to give employers incentives to offer bail. I mean, we're going to use federal incentive. Making people fire up employees is a bad idea. It's just a bad idea. I don't like any system that feeds the current insurance company's share profits. We need to do more. We need to do a better job. We need healthcare needs to be accessible and affordable. We have a great system. Just not everybody can use it. And that's the problem. Let's see here. Let me scroll down. We have a couple minutes left in the program. I'll tell you what. We're gonna go past the Biden minute this week because Joe didn't do a whole lot. Let's get right into it. George.
Yes.
What's going on with you at the Mania this week?
Say that again?
What's going on over at the Mania this week on your end of things?
Okay. This Wednesday on Scene Anatomy 101, I will be finishing up my month-long look at Star Trek with a scene from Star Trek Nemesis, and the next day will be my...
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you do the Star Trek theme columns,
mm-hmm.
Do you wear Vulcan ears?
No, actually, I left them in Jersey, so...
Can you don't dress with a Klingon when you write these things?
What's that?
There's no Klingon attire when you write these things?
No, none of the Klingon attire. Yeah, you know, just it doesn't fit anymore.
And yet, somehow you're still getting married.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Hey, God has a sense of humor, so what can I say?
And then how you trapped her?
And this Thursday will be my 32nd edition of the UBS Evening News, and in there, my friend Ryan Thompson will be chiming in with his thoughts on Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Which pretty much matched my thoughts on it as well.
You liked it?
Hated it.
Good man.
Absolutely despised it. And,
yeah,
yeah, there's a lot of bile, so be warned ahead of time.
Okay, so this is gonna be a Venom screen column against the movie Halloween. By the way, I'll be doing my 6,982nd edition of the Political Universe. No, guys. Okay, that's the bottom of that. Anything you need to add, Will?
Nope.
Before we head home, anything to add? I promise you guys, I'm going to figure out what's going on with the audio here. Hopefully, we'll have it back up and running this week. George, if you got some time, let's try to do maybe a test show this week.
Say that again?
If we can, let's try to do a test show this week.
All right.
Maybe like a 15-minute segment and try to hammer out this audio and shit.
Well, say that again?
Sometime. I'll just let you know. We'll call in real quick. We'll work on the audio and see if we can't get to see if we can't figure out what the problem is.
Right.
I have a funny feeling Will's right. It might be on my new phone. So I will talk to both of you. I'll talk to you this week, George. I'll talk to you this week, Will. We'll see everybody. We'll see all of you next Sunday at 11 a.m. Thank you for joining the program. And remember,
live long and prosper.
Little heart of Eden. Live long and prosper. Do you want that? That's what we'll do in Star Trek. Mention Star Wars, and we'll be here on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you guys next week. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.